Welcome to iFly Radio. This is episode 3. My name is Josh Linen, here with my co-host,
Corey Brown.
This week, got a lot to cover. A whole lot of Apple stuff today. For those of you that did not know, today was WWDC 2018. It's their annual event where they highlight all of the upcoming software changes that are coming out to all of your favorite Apple devices. First thing I want to get into this first segment. Welcome everybody on Facebook. We see you.
Yep.
Got a couple people rocking with us. What's up, Aaron? I see you. Sorry, I got my iPad turned sideways on here. Titus, what's up? I see you. Miguel, I see you. Cool. Got a few people going in. We're just going to redo the first part of this podcast. First segment or two here on Facebook Live, and then you're going to have to check out the rest of it when I get this thing published to iTunes and CastBox tomorrow. So, welcome. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you follow us. And get this out the way. If you listen to it and you like it, make sure that you go out to the iTunes store and leave us a review. They do have rankings based on your reviews and the amount of stars that you get. We would like to climb up the podcast rankings.
Definitely. I can see those at the top already.
All right. First things first, Corey. What's new with you, man?
What's new? So, what's new, one of my favorite sites that I always love to be on is YouTube. And, like, I'm super excited in the direction it's going. And, like, I spend probably 80% of my day watching videos on YouTube. This is where I know most of my technology is from. Is YouTube and maybe tech sites. That YouTube would taught me how to do just about anything. So I'm just, that was new. Like, stay on top of the news on YouTube.
YouTube is definitely powerful. I am only recently started getting into the whole, how-to section of it, by different kinds of videos and different types of like mobile office setups. Just out of my curiosity, something I've looked at recently. For me, I spend a lot of my time on some websites, imore.com, which is linked to, Android Central and Crackberry and a couple of other websites that covers, everything iPhone for imore. Android Central obviously is, Android software stuff, and Crackberry is obviously your BlackBerry stuff, which, by the way, in case you haven't talked to me personally or you don't know this information already, BlackBerry is not dead. The company is no longer a cell phone maker, primarily. That is their secondary business now. They are now a software company. That's where they get a majority of their things at. So a lot of these new cars coming out here next year, you're going to see their software in it because it's a secure. It's an overall good product. They did a reversal. Big ups to the CEO there. So
yeah, I love BlackBerry.
I was a fan back in the day myself.
Like, I had a BlackBerry smartphone where you go actually touch the screen. So I
had that one big old button. It was like one big button was their first touchscreen. I remember it. Can't remember what it was called. My roommate at the time, he had one first, and he said he kind of liked it. I was like, yeah, I kind of want this. I can see this is the future. Phone. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna try it out. I liked it. One big button was a different, a different piece that I would never like to, relive. But it was what it was when it was.
BlackBerry.
I can cover that on all their software stuff on a different podcast, a different day. So, just a couple of things to follow up on. In case you listened to our previous podcast, we covered Google, with Project Maven. Basically, there was thousands of people that were quitting the company just because of the government contracts with AI and artificial intelligence and all that stuff, augmented reality. They're basically, keep it simple, which is what we like to do here at iFly Radio. It basically is the equivalent of weaponizing AR and AI. So what it turns out is that they actually canceled that contract, they said. It just came out in the news a couple of days ago that they're, because of the public outcry on it and the thousands of people that and vendors that actually they did it and they cried out, they got their way, you know, they're not going through with it anymore. So that's that.
I think it's huge for Google to do this because it shows that they care about their employees. And they're not just some big corporation that only cares about money. So big ups to Google for that.
Yep. I'm all right with that. I was never really, big fan of them. Some of you may not know, but Google was started with seed money, with government seed money. So, of course, they're going to have all sorts of government contracts. And, that's to them. Number one rule of business is to use other people's money. So, why not use the government's money, Then they got government contracts that's seeded millions and millions of different projects that you have or may not have seen.
Yeah.
All right. So, this portion, this segment is what we call Simply IT. Basically, it is our how-to portion of the podcast. And this week, we're keeping along the theme with Apple. And, so with the iOS 12 coming out, which, we'll cover later, it'd be a good idea to know how to back up your devices. Gory?
Oh, yeah. So, if you want to back up your devices, especially on an iPhone, there's a few things you could do. Like I said, I would suggest to do Google and iCloud. So what iCloud is just a cloud in the space where you can put your stuff in. So basically you could back up everything on your phone and it goes to this imaginary cloud, and think of it like in the sky, imaginary cloud in the sky. And then every time you need it, if you know your password and your iCloud address, you could go get it on any device, any Apple device. You could back it up on your iPad, you could back it up on your MacBook Pro, you could back it up on your iMac, it don't really matter. And it brings everything exactly the way you had it. So if you want to back it up, you go into the settings right here. Oh, I can slide in a little closer. Go into the settings right here. You slide up into your iCloud. You click on this. And then you go all the way down to where you see iCloud right here. And then if you scroll all the way down, it'll have iCloud backup. And that should be on. And what happens is, if it's not on, you can turn it on. And once it's on, you'll bag it up. And once you bag it up once, it'll automatically do it. So, you don't have to worry about it going off or anything like that. You have to manually turn it off. So once you bag it up, it'll bag it up every night around about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. As long as you run the Wi-Fi, it'll bag up. And then if you happen to have to reset your phone, it'll go back to 3 backups. So, if it bags up every day, 3 days ago, you could catch it and start from there, or you can catch it second day, or you can start it even from today. So it's a great, great tool to use. Another key part about it is you can buy space. It's only $1 for 50 gigs. Why not? If you don't have a higher end phone, you should want to buy space. I have a 256. I don't really necessarily need to buy space, but if the phone happened to crap out on me, I won't have no problems because I back it up through my iCloud anyway. So that is how to back up iCloud.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you. Next week we'll cover something different on that. Not really sure yet, but just tune in next week. If you guys did not know already, we are live from RMV Studios. This is a spot, you need to get some mixing in. Get some mixing in. We got the best prices in town, hands down. So give us a shout. Appreciate you for tuning in today, and catch the rest of the podcast on iFly Radio.
See you later.
All right. This segment is our segment that we like to call New News.
New News.
Corey's got something he found. Quite interesting, I might say, if you're that frequent trip to, you know, your Starbucks, or if you're here in Lincoln and Omaha area, you got Shooters, or Scooters, I'm sorry. But we can talk robot baristas.
Robot baristas. Very interesting subject. I know Starbucks been catching a lot of flack lately, but there's been a guy that wanted to invent a robot that fixes coffee. And what he wanna do, he wanna sell it to Starbucks for like $25,000 a robot, and basically what it does is it can make up to 120 cups of coffee in an hour. Which is, I think, is huge, but it takes away the idea of going to Starbucks, because it's mainly for the people. To like, they super nice, they super friendly, but you know, this is, you know, the future is coming, so the robot workers is starting to roll in. You know, if you don't believe me, check out Walmart. Check out any big grocery store that has like self checkout lines, and they just have one person to watch it.
Yep, that's gonna be pretty much the same thing. I know, but you know, it's a I don't know what you would call it, like a culture or environment. But that's part of, like, you know, Corey was saying, that's what you go there for, is the environment and the experience, you know, that you get along with it. Just saw in, you know, today that you know, Howard Schultz is stepping down from Starbucks as CEO. This is the second time that, you know, he's done that. I think it's past his time. He's done an amazing job. He's, you know, somebody that really we all could look up to, as far as, you know, how, you know, to run a company and just how you treat people in general. And that just, it's something to say about his character is, you know, he's definitely going to be missed.
Definitely will,
you know,
be.
To say the least. So, next up, we got Microsoft, they bought GitHub. Now, if you're not familiar with what GitHub is, it's an open source network for coders and programmers. So a lot of, you know, these, you know, popular apps that you see in the App Store, that's where they started out, was on GitHub. Basically, it's an open source network where people can look at your code and, you know, find the bugs in it, and or give you suggestions to find out, you know, this would work better versus this, or you can make it smaller by doing this, because that's ultimately the goal whenever you're trying to create an app, is to make it as small as possible, which kind of also explains, and this would be a good transition into the WWDC conference today, was one of the first things that they came out with was performance. Now, they went back to the iPhone 6 on performance on what they covered today, as far as the boot times and your refresh times and how fast your screen's gonna pull up and all of your optimization bursts. That all comes from because, I think it is anyways, I could be wrong, I'm not a programmer, but that comes from their ability to shrink the operating system down so it's not as large, so it's not going to need as much, you know, processing power to, you know, load those types of things.
I think it could possibly be huge. I mean, could it be, I mean, could GitHub, could Microsoft make it the YouTube of coding?
Ooh.
Can they make it? I mean, this is the possibility that they can have. I think it can be. I mean, I took a computer science class too, so I know how coding is, and I know how meticulous it can really be. So, you know, to have it where people can actually, you know, write forms, or, you know, where do you want to go, and they can definitely help you out. That'd be huge for the coding world.
Yeah, I definitely like it. You know, they promised to keep it free, you know, because it is a free open source, you know, network that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, daily utilize. And, you know, I'm not a coder, so I don't really particularly have a use for it. But that's just something that we thought that you should know. And it'd help you out understand some things, we hope. So, rolling into WWDC, recap a few things. Number one thing is iOS 12 coming out. That's basically a lot of what it comes down to is keep it simple. It's what iOS 11 is supposed to be. It's the perfect form of iOS 11. This is what they wanted it to be in the beginning when they rolled it out. Of course, with technology, things are going to have its bug in it. You know, there's going to be bugs that they're going to have to work out. There's no testing upon testing. You know, that's why you see all these betas coming out that you can be a part of. You just have to, you know, sign up through Apple's website. There's like a few step process that you have to go through. You know, personally, I'm not involved in that, but I do know people that are. So,
I mean, I feel like it's good. They tightened it down. You know, iOS 10 and iOS 11 did have a lot of bugs, so this is a great opportunity for them to tighten down a little bit. And, you know, make iOS the best it could possibly be, the smoothest as it could be.
So, yep. Another thing I want to cover, because I think, you know, it's going to be huge. You know, they kind of started the whole, I don't want to call it like a movement, with the whole do not disturb function on your phone, because they really want to help, you know, phone addicts or tech addicts or screen addicts, as they're calling them, I guess, on making sure that you don't spend too much time on your devices. The behavioral, we call them like behavioral apps, the do not disturb, you know, or do not disturb while driving, and now they have screen time. They kind of highlighted it where you can set up in your phone like certain amount, however much time you want to spend a total day on, like in an app. For instance, if you want to give yourself one full hour a day to spend on Facebook, then it's going to keep track of that. And there's, you know, reports and stuff too that you can generate to look and see about your screen time activity.
Which to me is huge. It allows, you know, phone addiction is a real thing. A lot of people are addicted to their phone. They're addicted to looking down. And, you know, this is just make you a little bit more knowledgeable of what you're really doing. Like, how much time are you really wasting on your phone? And the ability to be able to, like, to monitor that and to actually get reports is, I think that is great. I'll be the first person to try it out because I want to see how it works. And hopefully, you know, hopefully with iOS 12, everything will work a little bit smoother. And I can see how much time I really do spend on Facebook or on YouTube.
Yep, this is going to find out what's killing your screen time, but you got to keep your head up in this case. All right. There's lots to cover. Kind of highlighted, touched on it in one of the first two episodes. Kind of mentioned before that augmented reality is the future of things. So it's the future of games, you know, cooperation within all sorts of different environments. You know, I mentioned, you know, Facebook Spaces, that, you know, virtual reality, augmented reality is kind of a mixed thing. So they kind of partnered up with Adobe, to kind of basically, that's going to be the specialization of it. Everything like in their Creative Cloud is going to be now integrated with iOS native apps. Nothing too big there for the normal everyday person. However, the one thing that I will say that stuck out to me was there's going to be a Measure app. It's an augmented reality app that basically you point your camera at the device or at the object that you want to measure, and you basically use your fingers to draw a line on the object that you want to measure, and it'll give you a little pop-up that says exactly what the measurements of that is. That's going to be huge, I think, for all you homeowners and, you know, people that love doing DIY, don't got a tape measure around, or if they like my household, the kids like to use tape measures for random reasons that don't really require a tape measure, and it ends up getting lost. But so this is going to be huge. You know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be free, but not really sure yet, I don't think. Another thing for developers is that ARKit 2, you know, it's going to support multiplayer and multi-person cooperation on developing apps. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, games come out that you're going to, in the augmented reality world, where you can do multiplayer in the same world, essentially, is what it comes down to. So I thought that was pretty dope.
That's incredible.
Man, future.
That's incredible. Like, even now, like, if you had, like, even, like, one of Samsung, like, VR goggles, I mean, you could do it. You could do VR, but you won't. It'd be fun, like, if we could both ride a roller coaster. So that's incredible by Apple. I'm so excited for the future, is to say.
Another thing Apple kind of touched on was I think this is going to be huge, probably one of the top things that people are going to use the most is the photos.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, the what Apple is doing with the new photo app, I mean, it is going to be next level stuff, the way they go. The way they dictate things, and like I said, it's a huge thing, and I'm pretty sure everybody gonna use it. I don't really take photos like that, so I'm not gonna really use it. But like, if you take photos, the way you could be able to like research photos, the way it's gonna pop up or where you took it at, or stuff like that, is gonna be incredible.
Yep, I think the sharing thing is the thing that sticks. Is the thing that sticks out to me is that your phone's gonna automatically search. Basically anybody else that's in your phone, you know, that you have pictures with, it's going to identify that person. And then, you know, if they have an iPhone as well, it's going to basically share that photo with them. And if it recognizes like a specific moment in time, then, you know, you got some pictures from that night, but your friend has some other pictures from that night. Well, it's going to give you that opportunity to share those pictures, so that you both have, you know, the complete set, is how Apple kind of described it. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, that go out, you know, the nightlife, you know, getting ready process, and, you know, going out and partying and going to the club and all that stuff. I think that's really going to come in handy the next day. Maybe you have a little too much to drink and you can't remember the other half of it and you forget. You know, basically, it's going to help you piece that puzzle together, essentially, I guess. So they did good on that one. The huge thing that kind of sums up the WWDC conference, I figured it would be a huge piece. Kind of disappointed me a little bit, but at the same time, it was exactly what I expected it to be, was Siri update. Everybody that has used Siri knows that it's kind of behind a little bit in its technology.
A lot behind. I think you know, they definitely sitting behind Google Assistant. It definitely sitting behind Alexa. I mean, as far as like, you know, basic things go, Siri got a lot to improve. And they really haven't touched it. In the WWDC, they bit you off into new things instead of working on fixing what they should be fixing.
Yeah, they're putting the focus on shortcuts is what they called it. Basically, they're gearing towards, you know, automation and machine learning, where everything is kind of learned through your actions. there, it's one of those things that's going to take some time. Apple, a couple years ago, bought an app called Workflow. Basically, if it's a if this, then that kind of action thing that kind of automates your actions through your phone, where you can go, you know, to the app and basically do one action through there instead of taking 3 or 4 to 5 clicks to do the one action. You go to the app, you press the one action, and it links to all these iOS apps and stuff like that. Siri essentially is, that's what it's going to become, is a whole lot of machine learning where it learns on your actions and it can kind of predict what you're going to do. So if you go to get a coffee on your break, it may, every single day it's going to know that, and it may send you a reminder, to do so, or may give you traffic directions for, or traffic conditions for on your way from work to the coffee shop, huge there, but still it's kind of like doing its own thing. Siri's kind of doing its own thing, not what it needs to be doing. Like Corey said, they're behind.
That's just what it is. Hopefully they'll get it together. I mean, and then plus, I'm not sure, like, how would the average everyday working person would know, will feel about if, if they go to work at 6 o'clock, they get a notification at 6 o'clock saying the traffic is, like, lightweight, it takes 21 minutes to get to work. How would they feel about that?
Yep, that's... How accurate is it going to be? Like me, I'm always skeptical of that type of stuff. Personally, just because I don't trust it. Maybe I just haven't relied on it enough. I don't know. Yeah, I get the notifications on my phone now, but I just kind of toss it to the side on how far it's going to take me to get home, because I drive that same drive every day. I know exactly how long it takes me to get to work. I know how long it's going to take me if I go speed limit or if I go slower or faster.
Yeah.
And something else that was huge, and this was kind of going into the Mac operating system, Mac OS. They're moving to Mojave is the new operating system. And they're completely doing a whole new interface redesign with, all new tabs and stuff like that. They're kind of, they're simplifying some things. So it might kind of look familiar with what you see in the App Store for, like, on your iPhone or your iPad. There's going to be some app integration there. Don't really have, too more details on that. I'm not, a Mac owner or a Mac user, but I do have everything else.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really don't have too much details. I mean, I don't have a Mac. I want a MacBook Pro, but I don't have one.
It'd be nice.
On Mac. That'd be great.
One thing they had, couple of things I wanted to highlight was, if you're a Safari user, they're basically going to kill off the ad tracking. If you ever noticed that if you go to like Amazon and you do a search for a couple of items and throw them in your cart, then if you go off of the website and go to a different website or go to your Facebook page, then guess what happens? You see ads that are of the items that you, or items of that look like the items you just searched for, or kind of like it. If you use Safari with iOS 12 and with Mojave, that stuff is going to be no more. Needless to say, which is a great thing. That type of thing, it's definitely annoying. iOS 12 and Mojave. The biggest thing, I think, is FaceTime.
Definitely. I mean, it won't... Well, there's a lot of angles that you can take the FaceTime in. So, super excited about it. You can FaceTime up to 32 people. Which is insane.
Yeah, they kind of took a page out of, there's a couple of other kind of like meeting or conferencing apps out there. Most notably, Zoom is one that gets used a lot, I know, where you can invite, I don't know how many people on that, dozens, I think. I'm not sure on the true number, but you can FaceTime up to 32 people at the same time. And whoever is talking, that's who gets the biggest picture. And so it kind of helps keep the noise down, I guess, with the conversations, because I see, you know, a lot of teens using it and trying to get, you know, trying to maximize, you know, the 32 people out of it. And it'd be interesting to see how that kind of filters out those types of conversations.
Yeah, I think with the screen being bigger, they're moving towards of like a conferencing more than like just casual talk.
Yep, trying to make you as productive as possible.
Uh-huh.
And keep you in their systems at the same time.
So, I'm super excited. I'm going to get an opportunity to play around with it. You know, we can get on there for a few of my friends. We'll get on there and just see how it really works. You know. And I agree with that. With about teenagers, they're gonna definitely get on there and go as hard as they can to try to see, you know, how many people they can get on there. But I'm interested in it, and I'm interested to see, you know, if after 32, can they move it to 56? I mean,
things are gonna get bigger, you know. They're gonna figure out a way, because that's what the people are gonna want at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We didn't exactly cover everything that was covered at WWDC. You know, Animojis being a big part of that. We can touch on that on a later date. In September, Apple will have their next event at that point, which will cover all of your beloved devices that you love so dearly. New iPhones coming out, new iPad lineups, hopefully a Mac Pro, MacBook refresh, and possibly an iPhone SE 2 coming out for those people that love that smaller iPhone, with different things. But we'll cover that on a new episode when the time comes. But until then, we appreciate you guys for listening to us. If you would please go into the iTunes store and leave us a review, good, bad, ugly. We love it. Regardless, we appreciate the feedback.
We'll take it.
Yep, I'm going to work on getting an account set up so that you guys can email us your comments or your feedback, suggestions, whatever you need to be. And if you're lucky, there might be a day where we just go through all the bad ones. You never know, and you might get to hear us basically poke fun at ourselves.
Yep.
So we'll see. Until that time, we appreciate you for tuning in. And have a good rest of the week.
Enjoy your night. Let's go.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.